Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Disney Dining Show. I'm your host, Pete Werner, joined at the table this week by my good friends, Mr. Sean Falk.
Hi.
Mr. Charles Boda.
Hello.
And Mr. Steve Porter.
Hello.
And this week, we are going to give you our review of Boatwright's Dining Hall over at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside. Now, if you might hear some odd noises in here, Sean brought his new puppy, Zelda, who is an Alaskan Husky, and we're keeping her occupied with a Kong treat down on the floor right now. So if you hear some weird chewing, it's not Steve. A few weeks ago we did a show where we talked about restaurants that we were not looking forward to reviewing because we knew they had a pretty bad reputation, and Boatwright's was on that list. So we went and did that last week. Normally we would put a package in here, just some video to show you the place. We don't have it, so we don't have that. But as we're talking, pictures of the stuff we're talking about will come up, so you'll at least have that. Boatwright's, one of the worst reviewed restaurants on Disney property. It's pretty roundly not cared for. You have some people that really like it, but most people will tell you they did not have a good experience when they ate there. And you're going to hear, I think, a little bit of both from us today. Now, what we did was appetizers, main course, and dessert. So we'll start with the appetizers. We did a charcuterie board, which was a chef's selection of cheeses and smoked meats and some pickled vegetables. We did, Sean got a French onion soup as part of his
prefix
menu, yeah, that he did.
Mm-hmm.
And also got
and
crab
I had
cakes.
Crab cakes with like apple salad. It was like an apple slaw kind of thing.
Right. And then we also got the fried green tomatoes. And I believe that was everything that we got.
Oh, and the Mardi Gras fritters.
Oh, the Mardi Gras fritters, yeah. And so the Mardi Gras fritters are a homemade pimento cheese fritter that's deep fried with the pepper jelly. That was outstanding. That was really, I thought that was really, really good. As was the charcuterie board. I was surprised at $15. The charcuterie board was a lot better than I expected, in part because they had this chicken liver pate, which is really easy to get wrong. And it was delicious. It was one of the best chicken liver pates I'd ever had. Mm-hmm. The meats were good, that stuff. Then we get to the fried green tomatoes and the crab cakes. I'll let you talk about the crab cakes, Sean, since you and Charles were the ones who primarily ate those.
The crab cakes actually weren't bad. I probably liked them the best of the appetizers, but I really didn't like the appetizers that much. So I didn't like anything that much, just spoiler alert. But because this was like one of the worst meals I've ever had in my life. But I didn't think the Mardi Gras fritters or what were they?
Fritters,
okay. Yeah, it was like inside to me they were like gummy, and it was just it wasn't my thing. But I will say the crab cakes did actually have quite a bit of crab in it, so I'll give them good credit on that, and they weren't bad tasting. You usually can, if you don't do the prefix menu, you can add those on for $10 onto any main course. So I might would do that, I guess, in lieu of an appetizer. I would just add that onto one of my other ones, but...
So I really enjoyed the Mardi Gras fritters. I thought they were really good. They were like really fancy mozzarella sticks. So of course I'm going to like them. But
fancy mozzarella sticks.
That's, I mean, they were good though.
Yeah. Whereas rather than fancy mozzarella sticks, in my head, it was kind of what I would have made during that phase in college where I threw everything into the deep fryer and it all tasted delicious. Is that it's pimento cheese and I like that. And I'm noticing every restaurant, because it works, is having something pimento cheese based.
Yeah.
But it's fried cheese, which is awesome because cheese is awesome and frying stuff is awesome. But like, it's not, I mean, good for you. You fried some cheese. That wasn't a huge selling point. One thing that is of note, by the way, is they give you cornbread service in the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what started it off. I had no preconceived baggage with Boatwright's. So the cornbread coming in and then with the appetizers, like that charcuterie board was what, $15?
$15.
And had a decent amount. And it was, I mean, it was better than I expected. I was not expecting that
and
quality.
Just for a point of reference, the Mardi Gras fritters were $10. The fried green tomatoes were $10. So these were not, you know, as Disney restaurants go, these were not ridiculously overpriced appetizers. I was surprised by the charcuterie board. I was surprised with the Mardi Gras fritters. The fried green tomatoes were basically all you tasted was the remoulade sauce they put on top and the breading.
Yeah.
The tomatoes themselves really just had no flavor. So, you know, you could have just given me a bowl of breading and remoulade, which I'm not above doing. And it probably would have been the same experience. So the actual tomato in it served no purpose. So,
yeah, I will throw that in also. I didn't have any preconceived thing with boat rides either. It's at Port Orleans Riverside, and I mean, I've stayed there plenty of times. I just have never eaten there before, and so I didn't even know when you mentioned boat rides the other day that it was notorious for being a bad restaurant. I've, you know, you always hear Tony's and, you know, place Hollywood and Vine, that kind of thing. So that one was new to me, but I mean, it's well earned. It's a terrible name.
And so. You brought up the cornbread, mm-hmm. which we were all surprised, I think, how good the cornbread
that
was.
Yeah. It was a legitimately good start. That's why I was saying, like, I didn't have any baggage on it. So, like, if that was my first taste of what the restaurant was going to be like, and they weren't really, really heavy, which can be disastrous if you eat a lot of heavy cornbread before a meal. They weren't really heavy. They had a good flavor. The butter that they gave with them was nice. I mean, it was a decent bread service kind of thing to lead into it. And they were more than happy to bring us an extra basket and everything like that. I mean, it got me off on a good start. And that combined with the charcuterie board and the fritters a bit. Sorry, it's dog distraction.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
Oh, I just to go off.
Thank you, Steve.
You forgot to mention. You also had the berry smoothie for a starter.
Oh,
so your
right.
beginning started off great because you had that smoothie too.
Yeah, I forgot about the smoothie.
That smoothie was amazing.
Yeah, and it's just on one of the, like, you know, non-alcoholic specialties things, and I always look for those, but a lot of times they don't really do that much with them. And so it was like, oh, okay, you know, berry and their Odwalla lemonade thing, which is the lemonade they use. They brought it over and it was surprisingly good. And it looked nice too. It was like set up decoratively with like raspberries on a glass spear and everything. But yeah, I think everybody had a sip of it and it was like really, really good. I finished it before the appetizers even got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had the Saskaloosa
Sweet tea,
yeah.
But it was an alcoholic drink.
It was an alcoholic drink or whatever. I got that, and I do not get that. That was the worst. It was one of the worst.
You described it as like a thinned out maple syrup.
Thinned out maple syrup, yeah. It's like if you've ever had the Crown Royal maple shot at Canada or whatever at Epcot, it was kind of like that, but a ton of it, and it was the most sugary. It was like cotton candy, maple syrup, like all in one thing. And I'm cool with sweet drinks, but this was something else. I didn't even finish it.
You said blood was starting to crystallize.
Yeah, I didn't finish it, and like that's a thing. Like, I'm not going to not finish my drink. So,
I mean, generally speaking, you know, at this point in the meal, mm-hmm. you know, our server, and I'm terrible with names.
Ambie.
The server was amazing. She, like, just like everything you want in a Disney server. She mm-hmm. was friendly. She was funny. She was knowledgeable about the menu. The cornbread was great. Like I said, I really enjoyed the charcuterie board. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed the fritters, the fried green tomato. Eh. But so far, I'm like, okay, wow, we're off to a really good start. And then the roads diverged. The main courses came. Now, Sean chose to get they had a prefix menu, which gives you the French onion soup, which is $8 if you just order it directly off the menu. The crab cakes, which is $10 if you order it directly mm-hmm. off the menu. You got
Beef medallions.
The beef medallions, which was, there were these, you know, beef medallions on a bed of crawfish mac and cheese. And Sean said, you know, I don't want the crawfish mac and cheese. Can I just have regular mac and cheese? And this apparently was a thing. Now, because it was on the prefix menu, if it had been off the prefix menu, no problem doing the substitution. Mm-hmm. But apparently, this would like blow the head off of the chef or whatever.
Yeah.
Because the prefix menu cannot have any substitutions. So we kind of got that.
Which I didn't think that's a substitution.
It's an omission. It,
yeah. I mean, I'm like, it's not. I mean, a substitution would be like, oh, instead of macaroni and cheese, going to get asparagus. And,
assuming, but of course, that all of this stuff isn't pre-made and just being heaped on a plate and heated up.
Right.
And then after a discussion, apparently, had to ensue with the chef, he magnanimously agreed to give just regular mac and cheese.
Well, and even then, it was the kids' mac and cheese. It wasn't the mac and cheese. Because Charles later got the crawfish mac and cheese.
And it was different.
It
was different mac and cheese.
Yeah, they just gave me that the kids, like the generic Disney kids' mac or the whatever.
Thing, you had elbows, I had shells.
Yep.
And I ordered the Louisiana Lugger, which it is a sweet tea brined pork medallion. It's not. This is what we have on the menu here is different than what was actually served. These were pork tenderloins, medallions, served on a bed of sweet potato succotash, but they were done with a cola glaze, so as in Coca-Cola glaze. Charles, you order. Charles, oh my lord, what's wrong with me? Steve, you got the
Deep South shrimp and grits.
Shrimp and grits
For $24, and I really liked them. I'm not an expert on shrimp and grits, so I could be very wrong in saying that these were good because they're probably not up to the standard of someone from the Deep South, but from my experience, I really enjoyed them. There's like peppers with them and ham. And
well, before we get into what we just thought, let's identify what we had.
And so it was good.
And that was actually $25, what you had. Mm-hmm. And then, Charles, you got the catfish, correct?
I did. The full name for the catfish
was the Cajun Bayou Catfish.
The Cajun Bayou Catfish.
And I believe that was also $25.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Steve and I that walked away the big winners from dinner. I will say that my pork tenderloin, cola glaze, sweet potato succotash was excellent. It was creative. It was different. Very, very sweet. Obviously, you're going to, basically reduce soda down to its syrup form or just make a sauce out of Coke syrup, which I'm fine putting on everything. Okay. I'll put that on a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It would be delicious. So it's definitely sweet. You got to like sweet to like it. But, that sweet and savory works for me. And it was delicious. What did you think of your crawfishing or your
deep
shrimp and grits?
Yeah, like I said, I thought it was really good. The ham, there was like peppers and there was like cream sauce, I think, over the top of it. And I thought it was really good. I don't know. I'm not a shrimp and grits expert, like I said before. So I could be wrong on this. But if I wasn't so full, I would have eaten everything on the plate. So that gave high marks for me. I was kind of bummed that you guys felt differently. Well, you liked yours. But
I liked mine. You liked yours. Now, then we get to Charles with his catfish. And you used a word to describe the flavor of catfish that I thought was kind of gross, but you said it's kind of normal. And that was soapy?
Yes. Some people will occasionally describe catfish as having a soapy flavor. Now, it depends on the kind of catfish and everything, but there's a little bit of an aftertaste that you can get more of or less of depending on it. It's offsetting. That's why some people don't like catfish. I actually happen to like it. But the way the catfish was made, it was a lot of that soapy flavor, just a very, very strong amount of that. And then it also, the inside of it, when it says Cajun Bayou catfish, I was kind of expecting something a little spicier and
right,
a little zestier.
You would think some Cajun spices or...
Yeah, the way they make it is it's like a cornbread and andouille sausage stuffing, and it's really finely ground. So
Which by itself sounds really good.
Yeah, it does sound great. And So it was like just one consistency, and you know, the catfish was soft, so, and non-breaded or anything like that. So and kind of like cut through with your fork, and you're getting a bit of
we have dog draw. Oh, and Sean's Sean. Sean's right in the Zelda is 9 months old. I don't know, can we get her to stand up, like, jump up a little bit, and so you can, now she's gonna run away. So everybody can see how beautiful this dog is. And there we go. There's Zelda. Hi. There's Zelda. Look at the camera. So that's why, if there's a little distraction going on, I hope you guys understand. And if you don't, I don't care. But go ahead, Charles.
My last.
Okay. So, yeah. So I've had catfish on property a bunch of different times. That's actually why I chose this. Going to a Cajun place or a Cajun style place doing catfish, I have a good background of judgment on how on property they're capable of making a good catfish meal. Boatwrights is not capable of making a good catfish meal, evidently. And I actually checked with my girlfriend is not only from Louisiana, but she is also a chef. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to make sure I wasn't unfairly judging this. And I kind of brought up the fact that, you know, not only was there no kick to it, but the stuffing was really, really sweet. So it was soapy catfish with a really sweet stuffing inside. And, you know, she let me know that I wasn't being absurd. That's not like, that's not a big thing. That's not like some meal that I'm just
improperly. That's not what they're going for.
Yeah. I did get the side of the crawfish mac and cheese. I liked it. Nothing was enough to make up for how disappointed I was in this meal. It was like I want to like have fun making fun of it or like get all into how terrible it was. But honestly, it was just really disappointing, and I stopped enjoying my time almost immediately. So definitely a fail.
So, Sean, we get to yours.
Oh,
the beef medallions on the bed of four mac and cheese.
Yeah.
And what were your thoughts?
I mean, okay. I will, to go on your point with your food, Pete's was amazing. His was so good. That pork was really tender. That was a really good dish. My food was completely inedible. It was. I could have made it better than that.
Now,
I don't cook. So,
in all honesty, when he first said this at the table that it was inedible, I thought maybe he was being a little dramatic. So I wanted to take a taste, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you now, I don't know if I've ever done this in a restaurant before. I took a piece, I put it in my mouth, I chewed it for a little bit, and then I had to spit it out. Inedible is the exact word. Yeah. It was inedible.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was overcooked. But beyond that, that in and of itself would not have made it inedible. It was the flavor of it was like nothing I can identify to you.
Yeah. This was like somebody like fried a boot or something. It was like rubber, and it was just chewed and tried, and I had to spit it back out because I just couldn't. I couldn't swallow it. I couldn't eat it.
And then it comes with this
sauce. I thought there's no way that this food could be worse than it is right now. And it came with this sauce on the side, and I was like, well, I guess maybe if I dip it in there, it won't be so dry and chewy. And that sauce somehow was maybe worse than the actual beef.
This was supposed to be a port wine reduction sauce.
Yeah.
Now, a port wine reduction, you reduce any wine, and it's going to become sweet. Port wine is sweet already.
Mm-hmm.
When you reduce it, it becomes even sweeter. I don't know what port wine they were using. The way I described the flavor, before I knew it was a port wine reduction, the way I described the flavor was, you know how you walk into an old basement and you've got that musty, damp smell? Mm-hmm. Well, take that smell and put it into liquid form and then dip your food into it.
Yep.
It was disgusting.
Yep.
Disgusting. Now, folks, if you have been watching this show for any length of time, I don't think we have had a single review of anything where I've used words like inedible and disgusting.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm not pulling these out lightly. I went in there wanting to love this place. And if I was just to go off my meal and my experience, I would have. If I had been there by myself and I'd had the cornbread and I'd had those fritters and that charcuterie board and that pork, I would have walked out very happy and said, wow, you know what? Boat rides. Surprising. Because that's where I wanted to be. But then I tasted that meat and I'm like, oh, this is a tale of two cities. This really is the best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah, that is the best way. I mean, I don't think it was beef. Like, I mean, it may have been something else, like other animal. Like, I don't.
Like it was like eating an abandoned paper factory.
Yeah, I don't. It just or coal or something. I don't know. It was so
awful,
like and I just can't express.
The mac and cheese was good, but it was pedestrian.
Like children's mac and
it was
cheese,
pedestrian
yeah.
mac and cheese.
And I mean, my prefix menu was $58, so $58.99. So that's almost $60. I mean, you could eat it like Brown Derby or Geco or Sanaa or anywhere.
You could literally have eaten that $60 and probably gotten a similar taste.
I would have rather done that in retrospect. So you could have went to Hoop Dee Doo almost or like that kind of thing. So
I was the only one to not try the steak, but I watched all you three try your first bite, and you all had the same reaction where it was like that like big like gnawing down on it and like trying to chew it and like
and then the flavor would hit. And once the flavor hit, the face went, like, mm-hmm. What is that in my mouth? So we're talking about, you know, basically a 50-50 split here. Two of us really loved our dish. Two of us hated our dish. And then, oddly enough, the next day, Sean and I ran into a listener who was telling us he and his wife recently ate at Boat mm-hmm. Rights and loved it. Asked them what they got. They got the shrimp and grits, and they got the Louisiana lugger.
Yep.
So take that for what it's worth. Moving on mm-hmm. to dessert. Do you remember? With yours, it was a...
mine came with it. It was a red velvet cheesecake was what I had. So and that is on the regular menu also. And then
with a bourbon vanilla cream. Actually, I have the menu from that night here.
Do you want this? I have it.
$8. It was red velvet cheesecake with whipped vanilla panna cotta and a red velvet crunch. We also got the sorbet for $6, which was a trio of sorbets with bubble sugar. I don't know if bubble sugar ever made it onto this. I didn't see anything. It just looked like three scoops of sorbet to me. And she's going to visit Rhino. She's jumped up on the counter between where we're sitting and where the production area is. It's very funny. We also got the St. Louis gooey butter cake, which was had a bourbon sauce. And a toffee brittle was $8. And what am I missing?
The joie de vivre peanut butter.
The joie de vivre peanut butter mousse brownie that Charles got, topped with triple berry sauce and peanut brittle for $8. My sorbet was sorbet. And it was good. Like I said, if there was bubble sugar. But, it was sorbet. It was nothing to write home about. What did you think of your joie de vivre?
It wasn't bad. I'm not going to hate on it just because I've been burned at other parts of the meal. But it's essentially like, you know, it's peanut butter and chocolate. So you're not going to
had
really
an amazing peanut brittle though.
The peanut brittle on top was pretty good, and then it also had like with some kind of berry sauce along with it that went well with it. So I mean, altogether, it was relatively good.
And Steve, what did you think of the ooey gooey
butter cake?
Butter toffee cake.
So the cake itself was really good. It had a homemade whipped cream on top. That was really, really good. The weird part about this dessert, though, is there's the toffee brittle on top. And I took a bite because I like toffee.
That was kind of nasty.
And I couldn't describe what it tasted like. And I was like, oh, someone else has to try this. Like, what am I tasting? And you taste it, you're like, oh, it tastes like the smell of wet dog.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was it.
It was actually a dog hair brittle, a wet dog hair brittle that they put on top. And I'm going to go to Sean, who is wrestling with his talk as we speak.
Okay, Biting my hands. Mine was actually okay. It was way better than the rest of the meal was, but there was just no way it could have been worse. Oh my God, that hurt really bad. She's nipping. But
she's still teething, so.
Yeah, there's just no way it could have been any worse than the rest of the meal, so it was just really, really bad. This restaurant sucks.
Will she come over by me? Come here, honey. Come here.
All right. Okay, she's moved on.
She's moved on to something.
While I'm not on. She yeah. stopped long enough.
Gnawing the skin off your bones.
Yeah, now I literally have teeth all through my arms.
Your red velvet cheesecake was okay. It wasn't anything phenomenal. It almost tasted prepackaged, to be honest. It didn't taste like it was homemade. I think of all the desserts, the
gooey butter cake was definitely the winner. Throw the toffee away though.
Now, interestingly enough, during the meal, the manager came over. And she asked, she was obvious that we were vlogging, and who are you vlogging for? And we told her, and she's like, okay, that's great. If you need anything at all, let us know. She came back over during dinner. She asked how everything was, and we were honest with her. We said that, you know, Charles didn't really like his catfish. Sean's beef medallions were inedible, and she wanted, you know, can I get you something else? And Sean was like, no, I'm kind of eating his pork and
we had five appetizers between four people,
but that was it in terms of recovery. And I was surprised when we got the check that nothing had been adjusted for his meal, because he, like I said, he got the prefix menu at $58.99. Mm-hmm. Barely ate any of his main course. I mean, most of the beef was still there. There were two medallions, average size medallions. I think maybe half of one of them had actually been eaten.
Yeah.
And once the check came, so we're talking, four appetizers, four main courses, four desserts, one alcoholic drink, one specialty drink, and then sodas and water. This bill came out to roughly $240 or $60 a person, which kind of blew me away. No way, even for as good as mine was, no way was it worth $60. No way. Certainly Charles and Sean's were definitely not worth $60, and I don't think Steve thought his was.
And I enjoyed mine, but it just wasn't, the price point's not there at all. I mean, I would rather go to Homecoming or a million other places that would be around that price point more realistically and really enjoy it.
And yeah, at the end of the day, the fact that, I mean, really saying A Tale of Two Cities is a real fair assessment of this experience, that we had two main courses that were really good and two that were absolutely awful. That makes this place way too inconsistent. And I understand, you know, would I go back there again? Not really. Not at that price point. And if you do find yourself there, you know, be warned. You know, there's some other things on the menu. Maybe they're good. Maybe they're not. And now she wants to. She's like, I'm done with your show. Scale of 1 to 10, Charles, what do you give it?
4. And it gets a 4 specifically because the service was that good. Otherwise, I would give it less. One thing I do want to mention, too, is that it's where we were up on the top floor. In fact, most of the place, it's not very crowded. That is one benefit that it has for itself, is the way it's arranged. Like, you're not packed in, jam-packed or anything like that. Although I do think with the room they have, our tables are still really, really small. But, I mean, you know, decor and service and everything like that, it, you know, I'm not gonna just beat it up for no reason, but that entree was just so bad. And rolling the dice like a 50-50 on something, it's lucky it's getting a 4 from me.
You're spending too much money at this restaurant to have a literal crapshoot as to whether or not you're going to have a good meal. Steve, scale of 1 to 10.
I was going to give it like a 6, but with the price point, I'll give it like a 5. because it's just not worth the money, and it's not even like it, mushroom and grits. I enjoyed them, but it wasn't like, wow, these are the best meal I've ever had, that it was would have been worth that price point. And I actually think the theme we when we were eating, we talked about a little bit about the theming, is it doesn't feel like very southerny in there. We were saying it kind of almost feels colonial. So I didn't like the theming. I mean, it is what it is. So I would say like a 5.
Sean.
I knew at the time we were there, I said I'd give it a 2, but now that time has settled in, I don't know. I might give it more like a 1 or something. Mm.
She's taking pictures she's down taking off the corkboard.
I mean, like 1, I guess. I mean, the food was inedible. I mean, you can't really... 1, because the server was good, so I can give it a 1 for that. I'll give it a 2. They didn't make me like eat it out of a trough or anything, so that's kind of the only other thing. They could have just thrown it all on the table and made me eat it with my face or something. So that would be the only thing to make it worse. So 2.
And I, at the time, gave it a 6. I'm going to stick with that because, like I said, there were real highlights to the meal. My main course was delicious. The charcuterie board was excellent, and that pate was a real surprise. I thought Charles's smoothie was really good. The service was outstanding. Honestly, she makes up. They need to have servers that good to make up for the fact that their food is that bad. So for that, I give it a 6. But this place is not worth what you're paying to be there. It just isn't. And while there are some highlights on the menu, the fact that it's a 50-50 shot as to whether or not you're going to get a good meal, for me, leaves it someplace I just wouldn't recommend. So there it is. That's our review of Boatwright's Dining Hall over at Disney's Port Orleans Riverside. And that'll do it for this episode of the Disney Dining Show. We'll see you next week.